Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
Good morning. My name is Lee, and I have the privilege of being the family pastor here. And this morning, we're going to continue in our series of the pillars of the church. And so we're talking about just five items that truly make FBC Warrensburg the church that we are. And as we walk through that today, we're focusing on the aspect of the family ministry. And so what we're looking at is, how does our family ministry fit with our mission and vision as the church? And so today, we're going to tackle the question of how we support the call by God for following Him in His mission to fill the earth with His glory through what our family ministry is doing. So practically speaking, we're talking about how God is using our families that make up the greater family of His people to, through the power of His Holy Spirit, be used as disciple-making disciples. And as we look at that today, we're going to be walking through the passage that Carmen just read for us and using that as an example of how we could structure family worship in our homes. And so we're doing that because as we've been collectively called to look at God's Scripture, what we're not going to see in God's Word is a specific place where He's speaking to us, telling us to form what we have just as our family ministries to be the only support for our homes. We're not going to see Paul calling Timothy to develop a student ministry in Ephesus. We're not going to see Peter building an Awana program or a children's ministry at the churches that he's at. Instead, what we're going to see over and over throughout the Scriptures is God's call upon parents and households to take seriously the discipleship of those within their home. And so the home was established and intended from the beginning to be the source of instruction for God. And so God establishes man and woman, builds them together into families. Those families form households. And God uses those households as the basic building block for all of our society. Those households create the homes that create communities and that are used in the church and using God's people to reach out to those around them. And so in our Western society, what we have is oftentimes we bring professionals into our homes to do for us many of the things that God has challenged us to do. And so for us in a Western society, we turn our children and our families over to these professionals. We have tutors, we have teachers, we have mentors, we have people who speak into their lives at a level above maybe what we understand to focus on what their needs are. And so when we think about what God has called us to do, we certainly have some of those within the church. And we'll talk about our family ministries. We'll talk about our student ministries and our children's ministries. But those were never meant to replace the discipleship that takes place in homes. Those were never meant to take that role away from the households in being the primary disciple makers within their homes. And so we can walk through the Scriptures and we can see countless examples of how God challenges us to be disciple makers within our families. So we can look in Genesis 18 and we see there that it says, I have chosen Abraham so that he will command his children and his house after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. This is how the Lord will fulfill to Abraham what he has promised. We see that in Genesis 18:19. We also see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, most notably in the Shema there, that we are called to saturate our homes with God's Word. It says, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I'm giving to you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. We see these memorable words are challenging us to see if we're saturating our homes. And if we were to walk through the rest of Deuteronomy, see that what he's saying in Deuteronomy is, as they do this, their children will ask questions. Their children will seek to find the answers for what they have been told. And so we see also with Joshua, as he challenges the nation before he leaves his role in leadership, who they will choose to follow. He says in Joshua 24:15, But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Which will you worship? The gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living? But as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. We could walk through examples of David and Job and Noah and many other individuals who led their household in family worship, who led their household in reflecting their thoughts on God. And we see that the New Testament continues that focus of the worship on that. And so what we're going to look at today is a practical way that we can structure our homes to do what we've been challenged to be the church. And as you heard Jason said, for every family to be a little church, as Jonathan Edwards has once said. So what does this look like? What are we supposed to do? How do we structure and how do we function as these little churches in our household? Does that mean that we're not supposed to be here today? No. Does that mean that we need an hour and 15 minutes every day to do this? No, it doesn't mean that either. But it's more than just a simple bedtime story or a bedtime prayer. It's intentional time that we're setting aside to reflect and to respond upon what God is doing through our family, so that we're equipped and we're ready to be used by Him as His church that He sends out there. And so when we think about this concept, I was brought to a study that was done by the Barna Research Group that was surveying people within the church. And it said 85% of those parents saw it as their responsibility to be the primary disciple maker and instructor for their kids. But over half of the group surveyed said that they spent no time talking about religious things with their family in a normal week. So 85% of them say, yes, I see this as my role, but over 50% of them are saying, I'm not actually doing it. And so they looked into it further. What's taking place? Why is that taking place? And they found that there was a great sense of a lack of ability to do what they've been called to do. And so we are going to look at today what we can do as families to practically be the church and to center our families and our households upon the worship of the Lord in our homes, so that when we come together collectively in corporate worship like we are today, it's merely an extension of what's been taking place in our life and not something that is separate. And so this morning we've set aside the passage that Carmen read to walk through as an extended example for how we might structure family worship within our homes. And what we're going to see is that it might look different for everyone else, but this is merely just a guide for you to think about and to ask questions and to build your home and how you're going to see this through in your situation. And so the first aspect of the four aspects that we're going to look at today so we can develop this structure for family worship is that we must consider the people. And by that I mean we have to consider who are the people in our household. For me, that's my wife and my three-year-old, and those three members are all that we have in our household. You might have more children than that. You might have grown children who are out of your home, and it's just a husband and wife who are there. You might be a college student who's living in an apartment with some other friends or some other people. I know for me, at one point in time, I lived in a house with six different guys. Whatever your context is, those people are called to be a part of this opportunity. And you might say, well, wait a second, I'm the only believer that's there. None of the rest of these people go to church or care about God. If we look at 1 Corinthians 7, it teaches us the importance of saturating our lives and our households with the gospel. We see that there is an opportunity for those who are a part of our lives, who are not a part of seeking God, to see what's taking place in our life and for God to use that as a part of His sanctification and a part of His ability to draw those people to us. So whatever your situation is, whoever God has placed in your home, consider bringing them into an opportunity to work through worship as a household. And so as we first find those people, then the next thing we want to do is we want to select a place. And hand in hand with that place is also a time. Ideally, for you and for me and for us, family worship is something that's going to take place daily. And I know many of you have just stopped there and say, hey, wait, hold on one second. You don't know how busy my life is or where all my kids are at or how my wife and I trade the kids off as one of us goes to work and the other one comes home and works through that. And I know that I don't know everyone's situation. I don't know exactly how that all works for you guys. But I do believe that we should not allow the difficulty of the task to outweigh the importance of obedience. And so as you think about what you're going to need to do to select a time and a place for your family to do that, I would ask for you to commit to doing that daily. And now you might say, wow, that's going to be so hard. It's going to be a lot for us to pull together. Donald Whitney encourages families that are pulling together family worship for the first time. He gives them three principles to kind of hold to. He says, be brief, be regular, and be flexible. Okay, so this doesn't have to be something that encompasses your entire evening. It should be something that you do on an ongoing basis. And just understand that life takes place and you need to be flexible and work around those things. But create the priority in your home that you will come and you will sit at the feet of the Lord and worship as a family each day. And so for us, we, at my home, we go to the couch, my wife, my daughter, and I. We sit down there and we have our Bible time before Rory goes to bed each evening. And so one of the great things about that situation for us is, you know, like everyone else, things happen, things get busy, it's way past her bedtime, we start to do, maybe move past it in our schedule. She reminds us, she says, it's time for a Bible story, let's read our Bible story, let's talk about our Bible story. You know, children are creatures of habit. They know what's supposed to happen, they know how things are supposed to go, and she has a way of drawing us back in to make sure that we include that time in what we're doing each day. For me, growing up, I know that my parents invested time in reading Keys for Kids, which was a small devotional. It's one page that they read to us, one of those each night. And they were designed to read each day for us. And God used that time as an opportunity to draw my heart to Him. And so after I had gone upstairs with my brothers, after they'd read through that devotion, I went back downstairs and I asked them questions. I said, hey, I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what that was talking about. Can you tell me what salvation is? And so God used that time to draw me in there because of the faithfulness of my parents to be walking through just a small single-page devotion for us. And so what that looks like for you could be different, but it's not supposed to be something that's massive or encompassing the entire evening, but a commitment to you saying, I'm going to bring my family before God's Word, and we're going to center our hearts and thoughts on that. We're going to view our lives through what He's doing. The third aspect, I believe, should be the easiest, especially if you're just looking for something and you haven't started this yet, and that's called pick a passage. And I say it should be the easiest because hopefully you've heard Pastor Patrick and Jeff and myself talking about the Bible reading plan that we have. And Jeff has structured that reading plan to go with what's taking place here corporately each week. And so as you read through the passages that are listed there, you, alongside with the rest of the families that are taking place in that reading plan, are preparing for corporate worship together. You're all reading the same passages, all focusing your minds and your hearts upon the same truths of God, and then you come together collectively to celebrate those truths that are there. And so by committing to that, you have an opportunity to be focusing with the rest of the partners of our church upon what God is going to be teaching us each morning. And so usually it's just one chapter. It might be something that you could read through very easily in about 5 minutes in that time. And so it could be that you choose that. I know for many of you in your context, you might say, hey, my kids are probably not going to be able to pay attention to that. We do have some other devotionals that we have used and many of our families have found to be very successful in just focusing the hearts of their children upon the Lord. And so at our South Kiosk, we have the Old Story New and we have the Long Story Short that are available for you if you're looking for one of those. Or another option is my family has started to use is we focus down the passage that's there. If you've been doing our reading plan and you're up to date with that, you know that yesterday in Matthew 24, we were talking through some pretty significant things and some pretty high-level, kind of some end-time type concepts. A lot of those were really over probably Rory's head. And so we just really picked a small passage out of there. And so maybe you pick a passage out of the larger chapter to focus on in your time that's just going to be appropriate for those who are there. Or maybe you pick a passage out of there to say, hey, you know what? We're going to focus on just this facet of it so we can talk in depth about what's going on. whatever the case is, the passage should be intentional in what you're doing. It's not just an opening up and guessing where you're going to be, but follow a plan, follow a process so that your family sees the leadership that's in place and they see the clear direction. Because as you do that and you're focusing upon what's there, you're going to be able to build upon it each day if it's built in an instructional way. And so as you look at Matthew chapter 25, which is the daily reading for today, you'll see that it breaks down into three different teaching sections. There's the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents that Carmen read for us, as well as the teaching about the sheep and the goats. And so I just really selected that middle portion because I feel like it's one that's most easily applicable to my situation and what I'm doing with my family as I work through that. That doesn't mean that there's nothing worth studying in the parable of the 10 virgins or the parable of the sheep and the goats, but instead that I wanted to focus my time, knowing that my daughter has a limited attention span, knowing that my family can only do so much in our time together, on the part of that that I felt would have the most application to what we're doing. And that leads us to the final aspect of the family worship time there, as we think about walking through the process. And once again, the specifics of what you're going to do would depend upon the ages and abilities and interests of the people that are in your home. But you can do and follow a simple concept of read, pray, and sing. As you think about those different things, you can then build upon that as you grow in your discipline that you're doing that. Maybe you start by just reading the passage and praying to God and singing a simple song that your family knows. It's interesting now, Rory is starting to learn songs and singing along in the radio, singing along as we're in the home. It shows that she's absorbing those things, hopefully internalizing those truths, and that God is planting seeds in her life. And so as we walk through what it looks like, this next part is supposed to build like a structure and framework that you can use. What are some practical aspects that you can bring into that time so that you feel like you're ready to lead your family in worship? The first thing that I would say is start by preparing for the time together. By this I mean, ideally if you're leading, you're going to be reading the passage prior to reading it together as a group. You're doing some sort of preparation in terms of reading through that, selecting either the portion or deciding that you're going to talk about it all together, and setting aside that time. If you have older kids, you can challenge them to pre-read that as well. But then as you come together, you read the passage together to focus your family on that. And so as you begin by reading that passage, your children can even be a part of that if they're able to read, and reading God's word and learning and growing in their understanding that they're able to hear God as they speak or as he speaks to him through his word. Next, and what we'll focus on for a larger part here, is how we can collectively reflect on the passage together. And so what I've done here is kind of structured some different questions that you can use as you read God's word together as a family. And so I firmly believe that our students, our families, our kids are asking questions. But the question for me is, are they asking those questions of you, or are they allowing the culture and those around them to answer those questions for them? And so as you ask these questions, you bring your children, your families, those in your household to a situation where they understand that they can ask and receive answers from you. That you're opening it up, you're asking questions of them so you see how and what they're understanding. You're guiding them through that process, and you're also allowing them to see that you are there and ready and able to answer any question that they might have. And if you can't answer that question, like I've told many of our students and others, if I can't answer your question, I will find someone who can. I will find that answer for you. I'm committed to being able to work through that for them so that they see God's word and our study of it as an ability to find the answers that they're searching for rather than looking elsewhere. And so if we're thinking back to the parable of the talents, what might some of those questions look like? You might ask first, what does this passage teach us about God or his attributes? What does it explain about who God is, how he relates to his creation and what's going on? We can draw many parallels or many answers of that question out of our passage. First, we see that God holds man accountable for what he does with what he's given. We also see that God celebrates with those who use their gifts and extend his kingdom. We also see that God does not treat everyone the same way in terms of the blessings, the talents, the gifts that he gives to them. Nor does he expect the same result or the same growth with that. We see that he looks simply for the faithfulness of his servants, not necessarily identical results. And so that's just four simple truths that we can draw out of that passage about who God is and how he's relating to his creation. We also can ask a question about what does the passage say about who man is? What does it teach us about humanity? What does it teach us about society? What does it teach us about who we are? We see that we're under God's authority. Ultimately, the servants chose to do with what was given to them what they saw best, but there were consequences for not doing what those in authority had given to them. We also see that man receives blessings and is charged with the stewardship of God's blessings. God is the giver of all good gifts, and as the giver of all good gifts, he bestows those upon his children. And we're able to use those for the extension of his kingdom. And the third question is more of a higher level question as we think about what's going on here. And it's asking a question that is most easily answered in narrative as well as parables. And it's, who do you identify with in this passage? Who is it that you see yourself in the passage? And so maybe you identify with one of the first two servants who's been given 5 or 2 talents, and you see how you've been blessed by God and are using those blessings to extend his kingdom and see God's hand at work in faithfulness in your life. Maybe you would identify with a servant who's given just the 1 talent and you feel that God has not given you what you deserve or what he's given others. Or maybe you feel like God hasn't given you anything at all and you're not sure who you relate to in that story. The key to asking this question is to not leave it just at this level, but instead to look to the promises of God or the teachings of the Scripture that should guide your thoughts and actions and create your feelings and harmonize them with reality and the teaching of God's Word so that you can reflect on what you should then do as an application for how you're feeling. And so if you're doing that and you're thinking about those first two servants, continue in the faithfulness that God has given you. It's not enough that you stop using what God has given to you, but continue to use those blessings for his kingdom. Maybe you're saying you felt like the 3rd servant. You feel like you've been hiding or running from God. You're scared of his wrath. You're scared of the judgment that might be there. So the call for you is to stop running and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. As you think about these types of things, I told you I have a 3-year-old. These questions are probably not the ones that I'm going to use in my home. Instead, I'm going to focus on asking a simple question about how does Jesus ask us to respond to him? Or focusing on a larger theme of the Scripture. What might it be that God is able to use in this time to focus our hearts, to focus our mind on a repetitive theme that we're going to see in the Scripture? You see, the goal here is to help saturate our home with an atmosphere where our thoughts, our hearts, our words, and our deeds are centered on the teachings of God's Word. You know, we did this when we were working through the Advent series. Each night we read from the passages that had been laid out, and a lot of them had great, large, meaningful scriptures for Amy and I to reflect on. But as we thought about what we're doing for Rory, we just focused on asking her to remember that why Jesus was born. And so we told her that Jesus was born to turn the world upside down. And so she would move her hands like this to show upside down. And actually here on Christmas Eve, when Patrick was up here on the stage teaching about Jesus coming as our king, he talked about upside down and turning the world upside down. And when he said that, she looked over and went upside down, you know. So she was embedding that in her mind. It was relating with her. We were preparing her for what was going to take place in a small way. And I know that doesn't mean that right now she understands all that that means, but I truly believe that that's a seed that's planted that God can grow in her faith as she seeks to understand what God is calling her to be, just as a woman. So as we think about this, you might say, hey, I don't know if I'm ready to ask these types of questions. So maybe you start with just reading the passage, praying together, and singing. But if you're able, and your kids are able, and those in your household are able, begin to unpack what God's Word is saying. Work through that together as a family, the same way that we work through it here in our ministries as a church. And the final aspect is just spending some time praying to God that he would use his word to bring about his desired plan for your family. We know that apart from the Spirit of God working in our homes, we labor in vain. So we need to commit that work and that word to him. We need to ask for his presence. We need to ask for his blessing. We need to ask for his Spirit to guide us in all that we do. Because when we incorporate our family into this worship time, we're teaching them not that we do things, but that God does work through us. that we're the vessels, we're the ambassadors, we're the messengers that He is using to be the church in our community. And so as we seek to do that, we want to be equipping our families to be a part of that. And so last week, Pastor Jeff was talking about our gospel communities in the same way that our gospel communities function together as a small body of believers. Our home is a basic building block that then is used and empowered to power our gospel communities, to power the rest of our ministries as we seek to gain ground on our mission to be disciple-making disciples in our context. And so as you incorporate your family into this, you start to see how your family can be a part of using their gifts. In the first service, Patrick and his family was a part of doing the Lord's Supper together. In this service, Pastor Jeff and his family will be a part of doing the Lord's Supper together. You draw your family in, you empower them, you give them the disciplines, you give them the abilities to use the gifts and talents that God's given to them as they nurture those spiritual gifts into usefulness for God's kingdom. So we, as a family, are acting as the church in our homes so that we as a collective church family come together, have already been living on mission as individual households prior to coming together and focusing on the mission that we have here. And so as we bring these families into our church, we support them by the other ministries that we have, by our children's ministries, by our student ministries, our men's and women's ministries, the outreach that we have to college students and others within our community. What we do is we support those with gospel-saturated individuals, families, and households who are upholding what they're trying to do. And so as we draw to a close here, we want to give you a chance to consider what God is asking for you and your household to do. What steps can you take today as you seek to partner in ministry with those who are here? And so maybe it's a commitment to for the first time to begin that devotion and worship time in your home. Maybe you're looking for resources for that. As I said before, at the South Kiosk, we have resources available to help you as you guide your family. Or you might say, hey, I have a different context. Can you help provide a resource that I can use in that? We'd love to speak with you there or at the Welcome Center about how we can help support your family and what God's trying to do through that. We also, as the greater family ministry together, need you all to partner with us and to be spiritual fathers and mothers and grandparents for our children and our students and the ministries that we serve. Our serving is, at this point for our kids, limited by the volunteers that we have. We would love to have second service open for our families to bring their children to the kids' zone, but we need more individuals to partner with us for that. So maybe God is calling you to partner with our kids' zone ministry or our student ministry. You see, some of our students are wearing their pursuit shirts from yesterday in the pursuit day that we were able to work together. We had many other families partner with us in what we were doing who came alongside to help us with that one day activity, as well as we have many staff that are committed to that, but we can always use more people who are willing to partner with us to be a part of that ministry. And so maybe today you'd like to make that commitment. I'd love to meet you at the North Kiosk and talk about the different ministries that we have available. As you see and set the example to serve and use the gifts that God's given to you, you teach your children, your families, your households about the importance of being committed to using what God has given you. That's really the reason I pulled this parable out of our section. Because not only is it an opportunity for us to walk through what's going on, but hopefully it's a challenge for us to consider, what is it that I'm doing with what God has given me? How am I using my family? How am I using my talents, my resources, to show my faithfulness to Him? What does it look like for me to be obedient to Him, to hear that call, well done, my good and faithful servant, to understand that He gives and bestows blessings and desires to use me, my family, you, your family, your context for the extension of His kingdom? Leads us to a simple question that hopefully can give us an opportunity to see what we do next. And that question is, how will God use you or your family to be a part of His plan for being disciple-making disciples who fill the earth? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the opportunities that you give us to come together and collectively worship you, to be encouraged by the saints, to be edified by the body, to be built up for your good purpose and for your will. And we thank you that for us as believers who are seeking you daily, that this is merely just an extension of our hearts and our lives and what we seek to do every day. We thank you that you choose to empower us as your church, that you choose to bestow gifts upon us, that you give us abilities to extend your kingdom, and that as we are seeking to be used by you, that in doing so, we receive joy and fulfillment and understanding that we're used by our Creator for our purpose. And so we pray that you would be speaking to each of us as individuals and households about how we can grow in our ability to be the church every day instead of just coming to church on Sunday. We pray that you would empower our families, that you would empower our lives to be committed to the mission that you've given us, that you would give us and grow us in our partnership for our ability to reach this community for you, and that all honor and glory and praise would be given to you for what takes place as you use those who are obedient to the call that you've given us. We pray for your continued blessing upon this time of worship as we seek to respond through song, as we seek to make commitments to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.